So let's go to John 3:16. And share it in the Passage Translation. And it reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." Rescue it. How many of you expect that in the next few days you're going to receive a gift or gifts? Just raise your hand. You're not going to get in trouble. Okay. It's okay. You know, and sometimes, you know, we know what we want. You know, we don't want somebody to just give us something. That's why now they have something that I never heard of when I was younger, growing up, you know, the gift receipts. You know, someone gave you a gift, you got it. Your aunt gave you funny pajamas with the feet, like in that movie, The Christmas Story, with the bunny ears and all that. And you just, that was your gift. Okay. But today, you know, today we have specific things that we want. You know, we go around dropping hints and things. We go, iPhone, you know, iPhone 10. You know, we go look there. We change the lyrics, you know, the Christmas carols. I know you want to know what I got. Say, "I'm dreaming of a new flat screen, just like the one in the Warwick room." Okay. Just little subtle hints. Cruising on the snow in a brand new SUV. That's what you're talking about, right? You know, but when we think about it, what have we done to deserve it? I mean, that's have we done anything to deserve a gift? You know, I mean, that's because see, true gifts are given whether you deserve it or not. They're given because someone loved you. Someone wanted to show appreciation for you. Someone wanted to say thank you. You know, but whatever the reason, someone decided, as far as they were concerned, you were deserving of a gift. And that someone didn't care what you had done or were doing. All they knew was that they loved you and they wanted to give something to you. That's all they knew. And that's all that was important to them. See, a true gift is not given because you did something to earn it. Gifts are given for a reason. And if the gift giver is sincere, a lot of thought went into that gift. A lot of thought. See, it's different if, you know, you say, "Oh, I got to give, it's their birthday, I got to give them something." You start looking, "Oh, good, let me dress this box up." You know, and give it to it. You know, they know my heart. No, they don't. But there is someone that does. You know, see, we're in a season where we're celebrating the gift of Christ. And we were given Christ because, in this case, God, someone cared for us. Someone cares about us. And he didn't just want us to receive a gift. He designed his gift to be enjoyable. He designed his gifts to have a, his gift to have a specific purpose. He wanted his gift to be beneficial. So how do you know that? Let's go back to John 3:16. In the Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. Now, and I have in parentheses, because of the gift, everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. The gift has a purpose. God didn't send his gift into the world. God did not give this gift to the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. So the gift was given to show something and to do something. It was to show God's love and to rescue us from spiritual death. That's why the gift was given. And like I said earlier, a lot of thought was put into this gift because God wanted his gift to provide. We're going to take a kind of a slow walk through Genesis, first three chapters. Some of the first three chapters, not all of them. But in Genesis 1, verse 26, because I want to just show you, there's a pattern I saw here that I had just never seen it before. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion. Dominion was a gift. Dominion was a gift. He gave us dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So none of you should be afraid of spiders. Okay. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And you can put parentheses, and God was not confused. All right. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion. He gave us dominion. He gave us another gift. Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you another gift. Okay. Every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and it shall be for your meat. And to every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. He didn't just give gifts to us. He gave gifts to all of his creation. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he made, and I looked at it, God saw everything that he gave, and behold, it was very good. Tell your neighbor, everything God gives us is very good. Genesis 2, verse 15, is where I'm going to start. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And I had an interesting thought there. In the midst of all God was giving the man, when he placed man in the garden to dress it and keep it, man was a gift to the earth. You think about that. God gave the earth. He knew the earth would need to be kept. And so he gave the gift of man to the earth. Jesus was sent as a gift to us because we received the gift of Christ. We become gifts to the earth. We have to understand that. We are the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church is a gift to this planet. And he gave the gift to be beneficial. But we're going to see something else in a little bit. And the Lord God commanded of the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So he gave him food. Okay. That's another gift. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou shalt eat of it thou shalt surely die. Now, I found it interesting that after God gave man, because woman wasn't on the scene yet, God gave man those instructions and said, he's not going to be able to keep that by himself. Okay. Somebody's going to have to remind him. He said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. It's not good that man shall be alone. I will give man a gift. A gift. Husbands, if you're not appreciating your wives as a gift, see me after service. Okay. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was his name. But none of those were gifts to add. None of those were the helpmeet that God promised. So in verse 21, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. He took the rib, made a woman, and gave the woman to the man. As a gift. Got it? So from the very beginning, God established gift giving as his means to bless his people. God decided gift giving was a means to get to his people what they needed. God just said, I'll give them a gift. And when I think about all that God provided in the beginning, why is it so hard for us to understand Philippians 4:19 today? My God shall supply what? All our needs. He gives us gifts. Your employment is a gift. So you need to stop complaining about your job. Stop complaining about the hours. Stop complaining about the people. It's a gift. Say, I don't like this. Leave and see how you feel. Can't tell you how many times we're in a store and we walk up to the cashier and we say, how you doing? Like, oh, I'm here. I'm at work. I got 4 more hours. Like, would you rather be unemployed? The whole countenance changes. No. Did you have options here? No one's forcing you to stay here. You know. The gift was sent to supply all our need. And we have to understand and appreciate the gift. So the first man was given gifts by God. Given life. Because let us make man. Just every day is a gift. He gave us the gift of life. He provided man with a home, with provisions, and with companionship. All of those are gifts from God, and we take them for granted. Not all of us, but too many take it for granted. But man wasn't satisfied with that. He was fruitful. He had the ability to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth. He had control of the whole earth, and he wasn't satisfied. Right? That's like the child. You know, sometimes you give them so much, they don't appreciate everything they have. In Genesis 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Now, we've read that in any number of times. But when I read it early this morning, something went off in me. Something in there, and it's important, and I never saw it. I never saw it. It says the serpent was more subtle than who? Any beast of the field. It didn't say the serpent was more cunning than Adam or Eve. It's important to understand that. Because since the serpent was not more cunning than Adam and Eve, they should have never fallen for his tricks. Something else had to be going on. Because it says it very clearly, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And Adam and Eve were not beasts of the field. God said, think about it, God said, "We'll make man in our image after our likeness, and they're going to have dominion." Why would God create another being to trick you? When he gave you dominion, he's not going to do that. So something else had to be going on for them to be deceived to that level. I mean, how can you have dominion over someone if they're craftier than you and more cunning than you? It ain't happening. The serpent said to the woman, "Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And you know the story. But the point of it is, there's some things that they didn't think about. Because none of that should have happened. That whole encounter should not have happened. What should have happened, serpent said, "Has God said, shut up? Say another word and you out of my garden. Period. Come on, Eve, let's go." But something else had to be going on, because the serpent was not more cunning than Adam. He was not more cunning than Eve, so they shouldn't have been influenced by it. See, there was, I believe, in looking at the scripture, Adam and Eve didn't have appreciation for the gifts that they were given. They weren't enough. Why do you say that? Why did Eve eat of the tree? According to the Bible, she saw that it was pleasing to the eye and good for food, and a tree desired to make one wise. Now let's look at the reality of that situation. Bible says in Genesis 2, every tree in the garden was pleasing to the eye and good for food. Every tree. They walked daily with God. So why do you need a substitute source for wisdom when you have the source at your fingertips? You have wisdom himself as your running buddy. And you're going to try and get it from a tree? So they lost their right. They had no appreciation for the gift. And they lost their right to be caretakers of the garden. They lost their dominion and authority. They lost the right to be sustained by the provisions in the garden. And they lost their rights to the protection of the garden. All because they didn't appreciate the gifts that God had given them. But worst of all, they lost their right to eternal life with God. And they cursed their offspring because of their actions. Now, even their offspring now has to suffer physical and eternal death. They didn't value the gift. But, and this is why God is so amazing, even though man gave all that God created for him to God's enemy, to the devil, even though he did that, God was still unwilling to give up on the man whom he so loves. Man's going out of his way to show, I don't deserve anything. And God said, I love you. And God can use bad English for that. He said, I ain't letting you go. I love you, and I ain't letting you go. I don't care what happens. I'm giving you a way to get back to me. Period. And to the devil, it's like, okay, you want to deal in subtleties? I'll give you some subtleties. Verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat in the days of thy life. And then he dropped this on him. And the devil had no clue as to what he was saying. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, her seed, shall bruise thy head. Means her seed is going to break your authority. Yeah, you're going to persecute him, but it's not your persecution is not going to stop her seed from breaking your authority. Now, we know this because it would take a miracle. You think about this. The seed of the woman was another gift to the woman. Because women don't have seed. They have the egg. The man has the seed. So in order for the seed of the woman to occur, a gift had to be given so that it could occur. Even though she sinned, even though she didn't show the proper appreciation for what was previously given, God still said, there's another gift I'm giving you because I ain't letting you go. Period. I'm not, love what Pastor Dean says. He says, I love my wife. If she leaves me, I'm going with her. I told him, I feel the same way. Not about your wife, but about mine. If my wife leaves me, I'm going with her too. Okay. But even though she sinned, even though she didn't show the proper appreciation of what was already given, God so loved mankind, he was giving woman, he gave woman another gift. But there's some more. Verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Where did the skins come from? Animals. God was demonstrating that he loved man so much, he was willing to shed the blood of the innocent to cover the guilty. Think about that. He was willing to kill innocent animals to cover the guilt, to cover the sin, to cover the shame of the guilty. Guilty means you did it. He killed the animals to cover their shame. That was a gift. I know the animals probably didn't think so, but that was a gift that was not deserved. So far, I haven't come across any gift that was deserved. All of the gifts that we had been giving were undeserved. Because we didn't behave ourselves properly. We didn't do what we were told. But God loves us so much. Look at 1 John. I'm going to share this in the Message Bible. This really helped me break through this morning. When I read this scripture, it says, the person who refuses to love, 1 John 4, verse 10, Message Bible, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. You think about that. It didn't just eliminate our sins. It eliminated the damaged relationship that we have with God because of our sins. That means it took away our guilt, our shame. Because God wasn't guilty. He didn't do anything wrong. But it took away our shame. We didn't want to go before God because we didn't think we were worthy because of what we did. We acknowledge what he did for us, but we know what we did and what we've done in return, and we feel we don't measure up. He gave us a gift to reverse that damage because he loves us. That's the only reason. Since God is love, he's obligated to operate according to the parameters of love he outlined in 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to share some of this in the Passion Translation, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is large and incredibly patient. Dealing with people, you need to ask yourself, are you incredibly patient? Well, make it easy. Are you just patient? Okay. See, that means God's love is bigger than our failures, mistakes, or sins. This is in reading footnotes about that chapter, about that passage, it says, love patiently endures mistreatment. Love is incredibly patient, even in difficult relationships. And I put in parentheses, like the one God has with mankind. Okay. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Listen to this one. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what's wrong. And I put, but love is a safe place of shelter. No matter what you have done, love is a safe place of shelter. That means love should always cover, love should always protect. And that's what our Father God has done and is doing. By giving us gifts, he's covering us, he's protecting us. Even though we don't deserve it because of our actions, he does it anyway because he loves us. It's a safe place of shelter. It never stops believing the best of others. This last one about God, when you look at all of the things man did wrong, love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. God will continue giving, no matter what we do, because he's God and he loves us. Even when mankind failed, when they disregarded God, when they disrespected God, he never gave up on mankind. Never gave up. John 3:16, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. You could say as an undeserved gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. We did nothing to deserve the gift of Christ. It was an act of pure love towards us from God. He wanted to show us how much he loves us. He wanted to show us how valuable we are to him. And he wanted his gift to us had to be beneficial. It couldn't be you just enjoy it and, you know, you get tired of it and that's that. No, it had to provide something that we need. Eternal life. Reconciliation with God. Forgiveness of sins. We need to be able to experience all he provides. And it's through his gift that we get them. Remember, I can do all things through Christ. God provides for my every need according to his riches and glory. Where? We need the gift. And God knew we needed the gift. He wants every single human ever born to spend eternity with him. That's what he wants. So he gave a gift. And he gave it knowing that every single human would not accept it. See, God doesn't think, oh, okay, I have this gift. I really want to give. And I know they need it and it's going to benefit them. But I'm not going to give it to this group over here because they're not going to appreciate it. No, he gave it. He gave it anyway. If they didn't unwrap it, it was on them. But he gave it. He held nothing back and he holds nothing back. That's what this season is all about. It's the presence of the gift, not the presence under the tree. And we need to understand that. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you couldn't intelligently express yourself with words? You know, I mean that because you see something and you get tongue-tied. You just can't speak. I mean that happened to me the first time I saw Deacon Phyllis. I couldn't speak. I couldn't get my hands to push down and open the door. You know, it's like I was no. It even affected my memory. I forgot my brother was with me for 3 hours. But when you think about, when you really sit down and think about the gifts that God has already given us and then add on the gift of Christ, is breathtaking. When you think about it and you understand just what he did and why he did it, it's breathtaking. He so loved us that he felt he had an obligation to give us a gift that could never be topped or toppled, ever, no matter what comes. A gift that did not come with a gift receipt, so you couldn't send it back. It was whether you used it, appreciated it, or not, it's there. And it's not going anywhere. And it becomes, it's what I love, oh my goodness, it becomes everything we need when we need it. I've never received a gift that ever did that. Okay? Whatever I need, if I need peace, his gift became peace. Yes. If I need comfort, yes. His gift became comfort. Whatever it was I needed, his gift became and becomes. And I don't deserve it. But he did it. Because he finds me special. Because he loves me. And he loves you and finds you special. We need to let the gift do what it was given to do. Because while we look at it as an undeserved gift, God's position is, I love you, and this is what you deserve because of my love for you. So receive my gift. Just receive the gift. We didn't do anything to earn it, but he was born anyway. Because God said we deserve it. Because he loves us. He loved us. There'll never be any gift greater than the word wrapped in flesh. You need to understand that. See, the gift came wrapped. It was wrapped in flesh. Okay. The Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 9, says, thank God for this gift. His gift, no language can praise it enough. Another translation says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Still another, thank God for his gift that words cannot describe. And the Passion Translation says, praise God for his astonishing gift, which is far too great for words. Far too great for words. Jesus really is the gift that keeps on giving, because God keeps on giving. And he doesn't look at whether or not he feels you deserve it. He knows you deserve it because he sees us as valuable and precious, and he loves us. I'm done.